Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci the run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
And that's McGaffey breaking free, has a seam and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open. Oh, Brower! Rebound! He scores! Try Brower! The former blockup has given the Blues a 3-2 lead.
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning. And welcome Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. We're broadcasting live from the Bomarito Automotive Group suite at the Enterprise Center as we get ready for Game 6. So much to discuss. We're going to be chatting with Pierre McGuire a little bit later. Chris Kerber is going to join the program. Martin's going to join the program. We're both going to be doing interviews on the television side, so we'll be in and out. David Solomon is our broadcast engineer. Back at the station is Brian Hoffman and Jim Hewer. It's going to be a 90% Blues conversation today. We are excited. Nothing else really matters in sports, let's face it. Our opening monologue is brought to you by the great people at Worldwide Technology Raceway Park. We're excited that they are with us. Worldwide Technology just kind of took over at Gateway. They became a title sponsor. We appreciate Dave Stewart playing a big role in that. All right, let's begin with lap one. So we have a Game 6, and we don't need or want a Game 7. And I don't think we're going to get it. It's time for the 49-year drought to end. Now, it wouldn't surprise me if the Sharks play a good game. I mean, the Warriors can win without Kevin Durant. The Sharks can come to St. Louis and win a game. They can, but I don't think they will. This Blues team is just different. They get it, playing for each other. Yesterday, we were talking to Reed Lowe, and I brought up the fact that the Blues have had more talented teams in the past, but is this the best team?
You know, I think this team's got really good talent, but I would say that, in my opinion, Craig Berube and the leaders have come together, and this is the tightest, best team that the St. Louis Blues has ever had. You know, I played on the conference final team in 2000-2001, where we lost to Pittsburgh, or not Pittsburgh, but Colorado. They went on to win the Stanley Cup. And that was a really solid team with a bunch of guys that really got along and pulled on the same strings as well. And obviously I wasn't around earlier to pass judgment on that, but you just take a look at what this hockey team's doing. You know, they got a legitimate chance of winning the Stanley Cup, and you don't do that without really having each other's back and really putting the egos aside. And I think when we take a look at the way things were going and the way that the players were acting at the beginning of the season, kind of jostling for position, and you know, seen a little fight in practice, and you know, the things that you heard inside the dressing room about the guys kind of bitching and complaining about ice time and power play and this, that, and the next thing, you don't see that anymore. And Craig Berube's taken all the drama and he's squashed it, and he's got these guys to believe in each other. These guys like being around each other. They like playing on the same team together, and they've built that special bond. And I think that when you take a look at that, these guys have a legitimate chance to win the Stanley Cup. And if they do that, then they've got to be the best Blues team of all time, because it'll be the first team that's ever done it.
As we speak, Jaden Schwartz came onto the ice, and without hesitating, with maybe taking about six strides, he just blasted a slap shot top shelf for the goal. All right, lap two. Craig Berube. Not exactly a household name yet in St. Louis. Let's face it. I mean, with each day, he's getting more and more famous, but the casual fan doesn't know too much about him. And when he got hired, who really knew anything about him besides Hockey Bob Strickland and Lou Korak? We knew he was a fighter, but that's about it. If he wins five more games, Craig Berube could rapidly approach the popularity of Whitey and Tony. He really could. I mean, if this man ends a 52-year drought, he deserves to get to that status. Heck, even that charlatan Mike Keenan is actually beloved in New York for what he did, ending their 50-year drought. You think Joe Maddon will ever be forgotten in Chicago? So yesterday, it was the last soundbite for the coach. And he was asked about how the city has gotten into this, and then he talked a little bit about himself. Take a listen.
Yeah, the fans are great here, obviously, in the city, and it's a great sports town and passionate sports town, and it's very noticeable how everybody's really excited about the Blues right now and the team. So that's great stuff. That's fun to watch and see. For me personally, I mean, I like coaching, and I like coaching this hockey team. I think I enjoy it. I mean, obviously there's ups and downs to it all, and dealing with everything. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't do anything else. I mean, I love it.
I wouldn't do anything else. That sums him up. He was born to coach, and almost everything he has done has turned to gold. He doesn't talk that much, but when he does, he just kind of makes sense. Ken Hitchcock talked a lot, and he was effective in his own way. But this is a man who has an economy of words. Vladimir Tarasenko, you have to do a little bit more. Don't say a word about that hand pass after the game. Just keep everybody confident. We can win this thing. Even those in-game interviews, if they're not doing well, oh, we'll score the next goal. We'll be okay. He's something else. I know it sounds like preposterous to say that a guy who's been coaching in St. Louis for 4 months could approach Whitey and Tony status. But you pull this thing off, you win five more games. Yep, he will. Lap three. So here's a question for the day. And we'd love to get your response on the Maryville University listener line. Go to maryville.edu for more information. And the text line, too. 855-282-8255. 855-282-8255. Where do you think this game ranks in terms of importance in Blues history? Certainly to the moment, it's the most important game of the season. But because it could propel you to the Stanley Cup for the first time in 49 years, don't you think it's one of the most important games of all time, or maybe the most important game of all time? Think about it. In less than 12 hours from now, we could be saying the Blues are in the Stanley Cup Finals. So where do you think the importance of this game ranks tonight in Blues history? I mean, do you make a case for, well, when they came in the league and they went to the Stanley Cup, all those Western Conference Finals they won to get there are equally as important? I don't know. I think if you factor in the drought and then the increasing number of teams and just how difficult it is, I don't know. This seems like you could make a strong case for it. Everybody's involved in this thing. You know, the alumni. Everybody. I mean, if I'm Brendan Shanahan, I'm in Toronto. Even though I'm, trying to win with the Maple Leafs, I'm thinking about my times in St. Louis. If I'm Chris Pronger, who lives in St. Louis, who's won Stanley Cups with other teams, like Brett Hall, I'm thinking, boy, this could happen. I'm looking up at the rafters, and I see number 5, Bob Plager, all 52 years with the organization. Kelly Chase was on the morning after, and he talked about how the alumni are really into this thing.
Well, it's pretty cool to go up in that alumni box and see 30 players there. You know, they had a night where mostly just the players and wives. And, I mean, like I said, you start going up there and seeing the excitement and the guys that are sitting together and coming into town and calling and saying, hey, good luck, or hey, can we, do you think if we came in, we could get a ticket in the alumni box. You know, it's whether it's, you know, it was Mike Liut the other night, Blair Atchenham, Texas. Like, it doesn't matter whether it's the greats or the guys that were here a couple of years. Chris McAlpine texting me going, man, I can hardly, you know, can wait if the city was to get there. It's Sergio Momesa. Like, just so many guys. Jeff Cortnall. There's just been a ton of people reaching out. And so, you know, there's a soft spot for St. Louis with the alumni, certainly around the league. And the guys, whether they live there or don't live there, you just really feel like it could be something real special for everybody if these guys can get to the finals and have this success.
You know, it's amazing what's going on right now here is that almost every Blues employee at the Enterprise Center is putting the towels down on those seats. Joey Vitale's doing it. Sales executives are doing it. All right, lap four. Shout out to McBride Homes. Not only is Tower T going to remain a golf course, but it's going to be modernized and state-of-the-art. Developers Steve Wachenbach and Mike Chamio plan to have this project completed sometime in the fall of 2020. Tower T is a 28-acre facility that many St. Louisans grew up playing golf on or hitting in the batting cages. Earlier this year, McBride and John Eilerman made a generous offer to Steve Lotz, who was pleased to sell the product. It was a good deal for him. But John Eilerman from McBride always said if someone would step up and buy it from him and make it a golf facility, he would make the deal. And there was a lot of backlash because people love Tower T. Well, these two men have stepped up. John Eilerman made a good deal for them, and Tower T will live on. That is absolutely great news for St. Louis. Lap five. Did you see what Myles Leonard did last night in the NBA Western Conference Final? He's the young man from Illinois who always kind of underachieved, but was a good player, but certainly not a great player. He's a first-round draft choice in the NBA because he's 7 feet tall and he's big and strong. He's got some skill. Well, he scored 25 points for the Portland Trailblazers in the first half. Myles Leonard has never scored 25 points in a college game or an NBA game in his life. He averages 5 points a game, and he scored 25 points in the first half. Does this mean that all of a sudden his career is going to completely change and he's going to be an outstanding player? I doubt it. Maybe he gets a little better. Anyway, he ended up with 30, but the Warriors move on. And it kind of reminds me when people say, well, maybe, you know, he's going to turn this thing around. It reminds me of the Chuck Daly story with John Sally. You know, John Sally was, a role player for the Detroit Pistons on the bad boy squads. And he was always effective, but he didn't play that much, you know. And then he got this big contract with Miami. And everybody said, well, gosh, he's going to blossom now. He's going to be the man. And Chuck Daly said when he signed with Miami, that he said, believe me, on his tombstone, it's going to say 5 points, 5 rebounds, and 5 fouls. And that's exactly what happened in his career in Miami. Sometimes, as Rick Majerus used to say, you are who you are. All right, lap six. Stream of consciousness. Back to hockey. The big story here today is what is going to happen on the San Jose Sharks skate at 11:30. Who is going to be out there? I mean, is Pavelski going to play after taking another blow to the head? Is Thomas Hertl going to play after his collision? And, of course, maybe the biggest one is Erik Karlsson. So we hope to have an answer as the program evolves today. But this is certainly one of the more anticipated pregame skates at 11:30. Cardinals and Royals tonight in one of the least anticipated games of the season. Royals are the third worst team in the league. Cardinals have won 4 of their last 17. And, of course, on a night you're playing this game, you have the Blues clincher at stake. And you also have really bad weather outside. So we'll see what happens. Quick NBA thought. Magic Johnson said he was betrayed by Rob Pelinka. He was backstabbed. I have two thoughts. I love almost everything about Magic Johnson. Did 2 30-minute sit-downs with him over the years, and he could not have been more gracious. Throw in the fact he may have been the smartest point guard and best point guard ever, There's so much to love. But I got to say this. Pelinka apparently made remarks about Magic's work ethic because he wasn't in the office much. And maybe he shouldn't have said a word because he's Magic Johnson. But let's be honest. Do you think, as the president of the basketball operation for the L.A. Lakers, that Magic Johnson ever hopped a plane to Murray, Kentucky to go watch Ja Morant play? Or do you think Magic ever went to Lubbock, Texas to see Jarrett Culver in person? Do you think he ever went to France to see that Sekou Doumbouya? No, he didn't. Danny Ainge does that. Other general managers and presidents do that because it's the most important thing in their lives. It's not the most important thing in Magic Johnson's life. He owns too many businesses, has too much going on, has a piece of the Dodgers. So if Pelinka said that, he likely wasn't wrong. It's just it's tough to take on a legend in L.A. It probably wasn't a good idea. All right, let's get back to hockey for the rest of this program. We are so excited. The Blues are on the ice. There's Craig Berube. There's Ryan O'Reilly. The morning skate has begun here at the Enterprise Center. When we come back, Pierre Maguire will join us. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box and the all-new 590 The Fan.